Well, as we said earlier, today is the first Sunday of Lent, 7 weeks focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and culminating on Resurrection Day, Easter Day. And today is the first of a seven-part sermon series that's inspired by just two words, I am. I am. Those two words have tremendous significance in the Bible. God himself used those words when he was talking to Moses from the burning bush. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?'" What is his name? "Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." A personal pronoun followed by a verb, but far more than that, an exalted title of God. The great I am. But it's a very mysterious title. I mean, try to understand things of the Bible. It takes a whole lifetime, and then you only get a peek. This is a mysterious title. Some translators say that it could be translated this way: I shall be what I shall be. That's true, isn't it? Others say it could be translated this way: I am, I was, and I will be. That's also true, isn't it? There are at least two other possible translations. One of them is, I will be with you. I like that one. I will be with you. And the last one is, I am without equal. All of those translations are valid. He is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He is awesome. He is without equal. There are many other names for God in the scriptures. Here's just some of them. There's Elohim. There's Adonai. There's El Shaddai. Jehovah. Abba. Ancient of Days. Which one of those is correct? All of them are correct. And more. God is too big to just have one name, but the name that God gave to himself was I am. I am. Where did you get your name? Who named you? Somebody named you. You didn't name yourself. The person who named you, probably your parents, but the person who named you did so because they had the authority to do that. They had authority over you to do that and to give you that name. And maybe later on you grew up and you had children and you named those children because you had the authority to do that. And or maybe you have pets or had pets and you named those pets because you had the authority to name those. How many cats do you have, Debbie?
Only seven.
Only seven. Okay. Did you name them all? Okay, because she had authority, but also responsibility. I wouldn't want to have seven cats. Well, because she had the responsibility, authority and responsibility to naming. God said, I am, and in saying that, he said, I have the ultimate authority over the universe. And it's important for us to note that Jesus claimed that same name for himself. This is John 8:58. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Did you remember that he said that about himself? Not only did Jesus take the title of I am during his ministry here on earth, but he made seven I am statements in the scriptures. Here they are. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. And finally, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Seven I am statements, and those are going to be the guiding statements for these seven sermons. And today we begin with I am the bread of life. Here's the story. It's found in John chapter 6. Jesus has just miraculously multiplied the loaves and the fishes and had the disciples share them with the people gathered there and miraculously fed 5,000 people. Count them, 5,000 people. A stunning miracle. And after the disciples had distributed all this food and they had seen these signs and wonders, they looked for Jesus and he wasn't there. And this is what it says in John 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs and the wonders, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." In other words, he was saying, you enjoyed it and you wanted more. He has just pinpointed one of our weaknesses. When we're blessed by God, we want more. When we're disciplined by God, do I have to finish that sentence? And Jesus continued speaking to them, and he said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Well, that filled them with awe. And so they asked him this: "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered them in verse 29. He said, "Believe. Believe in the one he has sent." Jesus said to them, and he says to me, and he says to you, believe. He made it very clear. If you want eternal life, you must have faith that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is. Where are you on that? That led to the disciples to ask this question. They said, "Well, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? They'd already seen miracles, and they just saw the 5,000 fed with those loaves and fishes, and yet they're coming to him again and saying, "Prove it. What will you do?" Then they added, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now, they were referring to Moses when he said he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus corrected them in the next verse, verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. There they go again, wanting more, just like us. And as I said, you know, it's remarkable. They had just seen him perform these miracles, including the feeding of those 5,000. And yet they still were doubting. Doubting. Have you ever doubted? It's a human trait. They wanted more proof that he was the source of this thing called eternal life. Can you even begin to imagine how much that must have hurt him? How much that made him feel bad. They couldn't see it. He came to save the world from eternal punishment. He came to protect and rescue us from the devil and all his ways, but they pushed him back with questions, questioning about his authority, doubts. Think about this. What if Jesus were to appear in this very room right now and stand before you and look you into the eyes and say, "Do you believe? Do you believe in me?" And what would you say? Would you say, "I want to believe, but what kind of proof can you give me?" I can't imagine anybody in here saying that. But you never know. You never know. I wonder what Jesus would say to you if you asked for proof. He might say, "I have given you everything you need to make a choice in believing or not believing." Jesus fulfilled 324 prophecies from the Old Testament. Did you hear that number? 324 prophecies from the Old Testament, he fulfilled them. Who else could it be? All the signs and the wonders that he performed before them in the New Testament were witnessed by thousands of people, not just the 12, thousands of people, and that authenticates the story of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, that alone. Yet there were many people then and now who doubt that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And some even deny him. Where are you on that? Now here comes the climax of the story. This is verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That is the first of the seven I am statements that Jesus made. Now, here's an interesting question. Do you know why restaurants like to give you bread before you even order your meal? Well, most people think it's because it's a very generous gesture and it's a warm fuzzy. But restaurants know that eating bread increases serotonin in you, which makes you more calm and more peaceful. And they also know that eating bread rapidly raises your blood sugar, which causes you to be more hungry, and they hope you will order more food because of it. Well, when you taste the glory, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you experience him, the bread of life, you want more. More of Him. I want to be a man who wants more of Jesus rather than what Jesus can do for me. I want you to be people of God who want more of Jesus than what He can do for you. The story is not quite over. The dialogue in this story in John 6 goes on further, and Jesus says something else of tremendous significance. I'm beginning in verse 48. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Now listen carefully to his next sentence. "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Even at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus knew about the upper room yet to come. "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." And he said that in verse 46. No, after he said that, in verse 46, it says that from that time, many of the people abandoned him. They couldn't take that. It sounded like cannibalism. What's wrong with him? And they abandoned him. But we understand now what he meant. We get it. We're on this side of the resurrection. In the upper room, he broke the bread and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Brothers and sisters, coming to this table today will not get you into heaven. The only way that's going to happen is for you to come to Jesus, the bread of life.